webcasting to the world the good news of God's righteousness for all of humanity. This is the Gospel Revolution Radio Network. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's Hump Day, Wednesday, July 2nd, 2008, the only second day of July 2008 in the history of humanity. Welcome in on this Wednesday night, Glenn Klein Online, coming to you live from an undisclosed location in the beautiful Northwoods of Wisconsin. I am overlooking Dam Lake. That's all the hints you're going to get tonight. Dam Lake. It's not a swear word, ladies and gentlemen. There's an actual dam on it. D-A-M Lake. And you just cannot believe the beauty and the pristine nature what I am seeing right now. It's lovely. It kind of makes you almost believe in God. But you can't believe in God enough. We found that out many times over on this webcast. And the purveyor of such heresy is online with us from Houston, Texas. Please welcome the president of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael.
Good evening, Glenn. I'm glad that you're having a good time and in good weather.
I didn't say I was having a good time. I was just appreciating the surroundings, if you will.
That's a good time, Glenn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, come on.
Thank you for keeping me on the straight and narrow.
And now you know you're having a good time.
Okay.
You've already learned something good about just being on this webcast tonight.
Indeed. And we hope to have you on the webcast tonight. We are taking your calls live if you're listening, and it's between 9 and 10 o'clock on the East Coast of the United States of America, as Barack Obama likes to say. Our phone lines are open to you, 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. Sean O'Halloran, our producer and engineer and call screener extraordinaire, is getting ready to take your calls. We always love to have that first call come in. It gets the momentum going, and it makes the webcast so much more rich. 1-800-436-3260. If you prefer to write us on the email address, or if you're listening on the archive and that is your only option to get in touch with us, please do that by emailing us tonight or whenever you're listening to the program at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That address, once again, webcast@gospelrevolution.com. So, Mikey, guess what I got myself?
What'd you get, Glenn?
I got one of these ab belts, you know. You've seen them advertised on television.
Yes.
Where you wrap it around and you push a button and it works your abs in a way that you could never work them.
Yes, it's electrical.
You know what?
Charge.
It works.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm getting rid of the flab. I had that little almost 50-year-old tire. I'd like to get rid of that thing. And this thing works your abdomen for 45 minutes in a way that you could not physically do it.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, it's like redemption for my beer belly. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, send me the link. I want one.
Yeah, you do. You do want one. It's just a lovely thing. And
well, I understood the concept of it when I saw it advertised. And
yeah, it's. I'm sitting here right now, and you know how like every so often you might do a really strong ab workout,
right?
And your abs are sore later, and they're real sore the next day,
right?
But you can't keep that up because I mean that's a very difficult proposition. You've got stuff you're dealing with, your neck, your back, you know, it's just you don't have the energy. Well, you just strap this bad boy on, and it does the work for you, but you have that same sort of having been worked out feeling.
Like somebody else doing it for you, eh?
Indeed. If I find something that works for the brain like that, where somebody else could do it for you, I'll let you know, too.
Strap it on, brother. Strap it on.
This is Glenn Klein Online. That was Michael Williams. This is the Gospel Revolution Radio Network. And wanting to hear from you tonight at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. Who will be first to call this evening? There's so much to talk about. We were talking about, Michael, the fact that It'd be nice to be able to strap something on and have somebody else do your thinking for you, but it don't work that way. And one of the things I have been amazed at, beyond just watching infomercials for abdominal exercise belts, I will also frequently channel surf the Christian television networks. And people ask me all the time, "Is why do you do that?" And I always tell them that because I'm just like a scout for an advanced sports team. You've got to scout the enemy. You know, you've got to scout the opponent. So between that and the abdominal exercise belt, I've been watching a lot of this revival that's taking place right now in Lakeland, Florida. There's something about Lakeland. This is where Rodney Howard Brown got his start. This is where,
right.
I can't even think of the guy's name, but he's a tattooed, filled, earring-pierced guy that just is as mainline as he could possibly be. But the lack of intelligence that is being articulated from the pulpit and it being received at such a high level, being broadcast to the world nightly on this God TV channel, it's been shocking to me about how little intellect is being employed in what they are conveying, as much as I disagree with it. But it would be nice to see them making a better effort at portraying something that's at least somewhat logical, somewhat cohesive and coherent. But because people are falling over and screaming and crying out for God and there's some cool music going on, it seems like people's brains are on hold.
Yeah, well, you know, it is amazing. There seems to be all different levels of intellect and maturity. You can be emotionally mature and not be mentally mature. And I think that there is that maturity also, and the intellect, spiritual intellect, is an amazing thing. And it really does take an education to have that. Just like you don't know exactly, if a child grows up without a parent or someone in their life to help them learn how to grow up emotionally, they'll be acting and reacting emotionally in a way that is going to hinder them the rest of their lives. And the very same way with spiritually, I really do believe in a progressive growth as far as our understanding of our spiritual being is concerned. And Glenn, without the basics, and I call the basics the gospel of peace and the gospel of grace, you really are subject to the whims of somebody else doing your spiritual thinking, if you will. It's like they have strapped something on their head and said, you know, just tell me what to think.
Well, this is one thing that I've noticed on these programs, is that even though that there's not a lot of intellect and forethought that is going into these messages, it's a lot of screaming, it's a lot of finger-pointing, the one thing they seem to have gotten down is the importance of authority. And that over and over and over again, you hear the message from these guys. And I'm talking about young guys, younger than you and I, sir.
Sure.
That are so demanding of obedience. And they're basically saying, let us do the thinking for you. You just receive and believe, and you got nothing to worry about.
That's the message, but you know, it's not a new one. It's been rehashed several times. I remember two or three times even during the Word of Faith movement and the Charismatic movement. There were always these, the shepherding movement came along, which was a strictly authority over you. It had nothing to do with who Jesus was. Who Jesus was fine, but if you weren't under authority, you were not in compliance to even what Jesus did on the cross. It was all subject to a human being. And of course, you know, the Catholics got that nailed down really well. And the Protestants just play around it occasionally, you know. there'll be a little group here jump in and one over there jump in, and then they...
Yeah, the Protestants don't say that there is an infallible human being like the Catholics do.
No.
But they certainly act that way.
They act it out for sure, and I mean, we see it, and it's just not going to end. The one thing that I can guarantee you is that the people, anybody who is the head of that type of a movement that requires the people listen to them, to hear from God, to know God, and there's no questioning of their authority. The people who are at the heads of those, for some reason, it's always the weakest and the most insecure and the most emotionally damaged people that float to the top. And, you know, I think it's a vent that comes to a person's life who desperately needs to know who they are in Christ. But spirituality without the gospel can turn bad real quick. And, you know, I think a lot of people who have embraced the gospel, in fact, all of them, one of the amazing things is they don't call me all the time to ask me, you know, Mike, what about this doctrine and that doctrine? They think for themselves. I mean, we certainly get questions about certain verses and things like that, and how does it fit in context? But, you know, once the nickel drops, they've got it, and we've experienced that right on this broadcast. And I spent just a little bit of time with one of the people who's been a wonderful supporter of the ministry over the years, but I did not know that I'd kind of lost her. When she first read The Redemption of the World on the website and read the transcript, and she was very excited, but then shared it with a couple of friends. Of course, they poo-pooed the whole thing, and she wasn't sure, but she's gone these last few years still supporting the ministry, but really not knowing. And so she finally asked me, she said, Mike says, I just don't get it. I said, well, it's okay, hon. You don't have to get it, you know. And but she had a couple of questions, and within 10 minutes, she was like, oh, my gosh, I see it. And, in fact, I got a phone call from her that was about 2 weeks ago, actually, that conversation took place. And I just had a message on the office phone, and she was just ecstatic. She said, I've got all the CDs, and said, I'm starting a little group, and I'm going to share this with everybody. I just can't believe that I missed it, you know.
This is Glenn Klein Online. It's Michael Williams, the president of the Gospel Revolution. This is the Hump Day Spectacular, helping you over the hump, and we want you to help us over the hump tonight with the conversation. Just give us a call, 1-800-436-3260, and our first caller is online. We have our boy Abraham from Stockton, California. Abe!
Hey! How are you, brothers? Well, I already know the answer to that.
Yeah, we're doing fair to partly cloudy.
Well, we've just been having a wonderful time. Haven't been so excited about the Bible and Jesus and one another and life in a long time.
Wait a second. You're telling me that you have received the gospel of grace and peace, Abraham, and you're excited about the Bible?
when I first became a believer many years ago.
How many years ago?
1974.
That's a lot of years ago.
Yeah, July 1974. So it's this
week. 34 years ago, almost to the day.
Yep. And the Bible was so exciting, although I do remember the first time reading the words of Jesus in Matthew, and I was thinking, wow, I don't think I can do this.
What do you mean?
Well,
what do you mean? You can't cut off your right hand or pluck out your right eye or give everything you have away to the poor? Or, like, believe perfectly and stuff like that? or never think about adultery or never call your brother a fool? I mean, that's easy pickings.
And only I had no idea what to do with those verses. Just, you know, put them on the shelf and figure, eh, it'll all work out. Well, now, 34 years later, some things are starting to become clear. And I don't know if I told you the last time I called, but I've been going to, this is a group, it's called Christian Businessmen's Fellowship, and it's a group of men from all different churches here in Stockton, and we meet early in the morning on Fridays, and I've been sitting and just kind of listening for a long time. Well, stuff is starting to come out of my mouth that is just right out of the joy of learning, like going with Michael through 1 Corinthians 15 and, you know, looking at the first Adam and the perfect juxtaposition with the last Adam and sharing this with these wonderful brothers. There's two guys in there who are pastors, and I no sooner got words out of my mouth, and sure enough, just almost like it was written in the script, both of them said, "Oh, this is dangerous." And I thought, well, good, I'm on the right track.
Yeah, exactly. One other way to say is that it's a revolution. It is definitely very dangerous. But one of the questions I had for you, Abraham, is you were in the ministry for a while, right?
Yes.
And do you remember what we did? Because there's a lot of people listening right now. Statistically, in radio, there's about 100,000 people that listen for every one caller. And so, potentially, there are tens of thousands of people listening to this right now who are wondering and kind of going through the same things that we've all gone through. Do you remember what you did as a teacher of the Bible and what the teachers that you were listening to did with those verses from Jesus?
I pretty much stayed away from them because I really didn't know what to do with them other than I knew. Because it was Jesus, I knew it had to be good. But
what we did, of course, and what is done all the time with those verses that are just, as Abraham's, is pretty much not understandable unless they're in the context of what Jesus was doing at the time, which was teaching not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law, that unless you see that, you spiritualize those things. So what they do, Mikey, is they pick and choose what they're going to spiritualize, and then they choose the verses that don't mean that people are absolutely 100% going to hell or that Jesus is absolutely 100% going to return somehow physically in the sky. Those they don't spiritualize. But the ones that they want people to be able to put aside because they're absolutely ridiculous, there's nothing that is coming in the future, it's something that Jesus said, they just put a spiritual spin on it. And that's how they get away with it.
And that is dangerous.
Yeah.
Believe me, the pastors that spoke up or ministers there, Abraham, that were with you, you know, they don't have a place to point at the danger of what you were sharing with them. But you know what? We've got people all around this planet that have emasculated themselves, who have cut their hands off.
Who crucify themselves on Easter in the places like the Philippines.
Out, and this is dangerous stuff. And the understanding of the gospel we have so many people who over the years have so rejoiced when they finally figured out that the new covenant didn't begin with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that the new covenant is the blood of Jesus. And that was all before the new covenant was made, that God made between he and Jesus. And they made that covenant between themselves, between God saying, "I will" and "I will." And when that perspective is put on it, you know, you can teach on those things with a veracity that is revealing, because we don't have to water down those verses.
We can teach them to their absolute. And we don't try to water them down. No, it really means if your eye offends, you pluck it out. And then to be able to come to grips with the reality that that was the final push, if you will, by the author of the law himself, giving complete clarity to the law, which
exactly.
The scribes and Pharisees never gave clarity to the law. And as I've said over many years,
they made provision for the flesh.
Yes. Yeah, they definitely did.
Yeah, they watered it down, didn't they, Michael?
Oh, absolutely. And after the law of Moses was given, the only clarity of teaching on the law that you will ever see in the entire Bible is when Jesus came preaching the law. Mm-hmm. Nobody preached the law. Nobody explained the law. Nobody defined the law. They misdefined the law. They watered it down. They created fence laws. And, well, yes, if you do this, but if you do that, then it okays this, you know. And,
well, and then, you know, they have laws in the book of Deuteronomy, like if children will be disobedient to their parents, they are to be stoned to death.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
As far as I know, I've read this thing a couple of times, you never read an incident where a child is stoned to death because they were disobedient to their parents.
Yeah.
So it must have been right from the get-go that they were watering it down and making excuses and not following it. And here comes this Jewish carpenter from Nazareth, and he draws a line in the sand, literally.
Mm-hmm.
He says, if you even think about it, you're as guilty as those that have done it. So you who were caught in the act of adultery, those without sin, cast the first stone. Now, they're getting ready to kill the woman that was caught in the act of adultery, but where was the guy that was caught in the act of adultery? Because if the woman was caught in the act, there had to be a guy there, right? And according to the law, he was supposed to be put to death, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good stuff, hey, Abraham?
Hey, I have one other thing that was so... To me, this was such a great experience. When I first started listening to your recordings, Michael, and I got the light came on about the
How long ago was that, Abraham? How long ago did you start listening to the tapes?
Well, it's been about a month and a half or 2 months now.
Oh, my gosh.
I love it.
The light came on about the cross and the fact that that was the judgment of the world. And then, of course, the scripture from from John 12, where he says it, now is the judgment of the world, and the prince of this world is cast out.
Right.
Okay, so I was sharing this with one of my sons, and...
How old is he?
He is 22.
Uh-huh.
And he spent a year at the Assembly of God Bible College and decided, that's not for me. So he's back home right now. And he thought about that, and he came back and he says, well, now what about where it says that we all have to appear before the judgment seat? And he asked me this probably a month ago, and I didn't know what to say. I thought, oh, dang. Now I'm going to get hung up.
Right.
So I went back and I said, okay, I'm going to be, Lord help me. And I went to the verse and I found that it's in two places.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Romans 14 and it's
right.
in 2 Corinthians 5. And when I began to put together the simple thing that, bless your heart, Michael, you've given this great gift of going back and looking at the context. That verse has nothing to do with eternal judgment. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but it has nothing to do with it. In Romans 14, it's all about judging one another. He's saying you're judging one another, and you've got to stop. because this is unto God. And we're all going to come before, you know, we're all going to give an account to God, to Christ. And when it's read in context, I don't know what the account or what the situation will be, but we're coming before the very person that loves us more than anybody else.
Well, you'll be happy to know we have good news for you, Abraham. We have an answer to that question. And this
cool.
Hold on to your hat, because this is powerful. Michael, yes, we are all called to account, but that account has already been given. How'd that work in eternity?
Well, the interesting thing is that, of course, being in Corinthians, and you've got to remember Paul's teaching style is progressive, and he teaches from the point where the people's information is. And they were expecting another judgment. And he is agreeing with their doctrine at the time, not his doctrine, because he preaches his doctrine after he says, he's talking about what they know, that everybody's going to have to face this judgment. And he said, in the very next verse, Abraham, it says, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we're out trying to persuade men. So the term terror is always connected with the judgment of God. Is a terrifying thing to hear that you have to stand and be judged. And but Paul goes on down through that, and that same chapter in...
This is Glenn Klein online. For those of you who were attempting to listen live, you know we had some technical difficulties. For those of you who are listening on archive, you know that Michael's discourse on what Abraham from Stockton, California was talking about was truncated. And it's just one of those nights, folks. The technology has not cooperated. But again, for those that were listening live and listening with interest, we will pick up the conversation about what Paul was talking about regarding the terror of God and the judgment seat of Christ on the next webcast. Lord willing, and if the creek don't rise. You know, Michael, back in the day, people would say, well, see, you are preaching heresy, and therefore the devil was allowed to get in. And we're happy to report, ladies and gentlemen, and correct me if I'm wrong, Michael, that is not even a consideration in our minds. We just had some internet and technical problems tonight.
No, actually what it was is that we are so doing the will of God, the devil's trying to stop us.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, see, if it doesn't work for you the other way, you can use the other one.
Okay. Well, we promise, folks, that we will pick up on the discussion next week. And as I said, hopefully we'll get whatever problems we've been having. Actually, in the last 2 weeks, this was more dramatic. But last week we cut out early, too, and kept recording. But we are obviously finishing up this abbreviated edition of the Gospel Revolution webcast. And we would be remiss, Michael, if we did not finish and mention and give the folks an opportunity to understand what is happening with the Gospel Revolution Convention taking place in Houston this November 5th through the 9th. Things are moving right along, and there's only a couple dozen or so rooms left at the Marriott, so we cannot encourage folks enough to make their reservations at the website at gospelrevolution.com and register for the conference there, and they can do everything online, right?
Yes, absolutely, and it is happening online. People are reserving the rooms and signing up for the conference. So we do encourage everyone to get in early to assure your room rate and your place in the conference, because we're expecting a really, really good turnout for this.
Of course, Carlton Pearson will be joining us. Ambergie from Cincinnati will be there. Many other special guests, and not least of which will be Michael and his particular take on all things gospel, spiritual, righteous, and it's just going to be a fun time. You're not going to want to miss it.
Go to
gospelrevolution.com, click on the information about the convention. If you do want to make your reservations on a toll-free number, that's available there too, or you can do everything online. And please register with us and let us know how many folks are coming in your party and who they are. And also, if you want to come by yourself, there's a number of people, Michael, who want to share a room, which, of course, will cut even the discounted rate in half from that. Plus, there's free transportation to and from George Bush Airport there in Houston. And so, really, it couldn't be much more convenient to get everybody who is of a like mind about this grace and peace of God together.
No, absolutely. We looked really well across Houston to find accommodations that would really be nice and would be able to house what we're wanting to do. And we did look at several places. And this Marriott Greens Point has turned out to be a very, very nice place. They're very accommodating, and they're looking forward to this being our first conference, and we've assured them that this will not be the last. And for those of you that are planning on coming, get in and be in on this first one, and goodness, we'll have more to come in the years to come. This is just going to be a real groundbreaking event, Glenn. And I just have it in my heart just so strong that this is really going to be revolutionary for the gospel revolution, for sure.
Or as Abraham said, dangerous.
Yes.
Dangerous to legalism, dangerous to religious mindset.
We are
dangerous in the hands of God. It's a beautiful thing.
It is.
Well, sorry about all the hassles, Michael, but hopefully we will do it with success next week. But for you folks that are listening to the archive, you'll just notice that the show is a few minutes short. And over the course of the last 16 months since we've been doing the webcast, and pretty much every single week have gone overtime, I guess this evens it out a little bit. Mikey, thanks for your time. Have a pleasant rest of your evening.
Thanks, Glenn. Have a good night.
Talk to you soon. Want to thank Sean O'Halloran for being challenged tonight and keeping his wits about him and his sense of humor. We always appreciate Sean's effort. Want to thank Abraham Mackey from Stockton, California, from calling. And until next time, from an undisclosed location in the Northwoods of Wisconsin, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!